and welcome to episode 250 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I am Vincent Hunt, creator of the upcoming Indigo Park and the new Instagram comic Black. And joining me this week are the creator of Vanguard and Viper, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And the creator of Atomic Hercules and Cockney Kung Fu, Tony Esmond.
250, fucking hell. Who on earth thought we'd keep going that long, eh?
I know. Yeah. I mean, there are some people, if you want to look at the stats, we've got had some extra sort of convention episodes and stuff. So we've, you know, if you go to the Podbean page, we do have more than 250 episodes.
Yeah, Spider-Man's got annuals, but you don't count them as Pod.
Exactly.
Yeah. But this is the legit numerical system. We are not... Don't worry, folks. After this episode, we're not going back to episode one. Dear God.
No, Season 2.
We'll never get... yeah. It'll be volume 2 of the Awesome Comics Podcast.
People have been working out when episode 300 is going to be and all sorts, haven't they?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so... if this is your...
planning a lesson.
Yeah. Oh, God. Anyone who's listened to this show over the past 250... episodes will know that there's not that much planning, but hopefully a lot of entertainment. And yeah, it's going to be a fun one. It's just the three of us for most of it. We may be joined by a couple of like special guests and cameos later on tonight. We don't know if the gods see fit and everyone gets their timings right. But for the most part, we're going to be celebrating 250 weeks of waffle with just a good old fashioned batch of comic talk with us three. So buckle up, everyone. Yeah.
Got that doorbell sound effect on standby.
Which I will have.
Ding dong. Oh, who's at the door?
I mean, that was so flawless. I thought it was an actual doorbell, Dan.
Yeah. You don't think, do you like a mixer, or do you do a fridge or anything as well? Or,
yeah.
Certainly not.
Surely. I mean, you've got
like an M16, like that chap from Police Academy.
You'll go on.
Oh, yeah.
Go on,
I was going to suggest, like, maybe for the 300th show, we could do that prank that they do where the chief of police is at this podium and we do similar given the podcast. But
is that when he gets sucked off?
Yeah. I'm pretty alienating a lot of the viewers or listeners there. So I'll take that back.
I mean, if this is the first episode you've listened to of this show, it's an unconventional episode. Yes. But what Dan just said is fairly normal, what we get week on week. So
I was going to say, don't give it large. Oh no, we're normally very highbrow because let's face it.
I must say. I won't get into that yet. we'll get into like the emotional content of the show a bit later. Right now, we're here to entertain, take your mind off the madness of the outside world. And do you know who else does that?
Comic House.
They do indeed. Our lovely sponsor. Week on week for the past few years now has been Comic House, the indie comic marketplace.
I worked out with the calculator that we've had over £1 million off them now.
Really?
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not bad,
that's
is
good.
It?
Yeah. I was quite pleased.
I mean, I don't think they're aware that we've taken that much money from them.
No, but, I don't think so.
You know, as long as there's no paper trail.
When do I start to see that then, Vince?
what are you talking about? Sorry, Dan, you're breaking up. What?
I know you built that new sound studio.
I mean, it must be the connection on my yacht. that's what happens when you get a sponsor, folks. Yes, if you go to comichouse.com, all jokes aside, there's a huge selection of titles on the database, and they just love indie comics and they want more people to check out indie comics, which you should right now, because with the current situation, you're not seeing that much from a lot of the bigger publishers in terms of your weekly releases. But there's tons of amazing indie comics every week for you to check out. If you go to comichouse.com, if you like printed copies, then there's loads of comics on their database. If you self-publish, you can list your book on there for free as well. Start selling straight away. It's just another avenue for you to get your books out there to the general public. But they also have an app, which everyone needs to check out and sign up for and subscribe. It's only £3 a month. I mean, there's a free trial, which we'll talk about in a second, but it's basically like Netflix for comics, and you get access to a huge sort of database of indie comics and great stuff. What sort of stuff is on there at the moment, Dan?
This week we've got Rona Season 1, Meanwhile Volume 1, the NCC Anthology Volume 2, Outlaws, the Dark Forest Volume 1, which I read some of yesterday. That's an interesting one. It's kind of like a slasher film. It was kind of sex and violence, but it's kind of the art style is quite reminds me sort of a bit of like Calvin and Hobbes style. It doesn't really fit in my for me.
Oh,
but anyway,
maybe, yeah.
Oh, you sent a speech for that one.
Project Hoax by Samuel Richardson and me.
Hey.
That's the new one here. And Surrealsville again. Rob White's put out another one. Crimes Against Humility. And Cognition. That's the title of the book. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm in that NCC book with a really? thinly veiled impression of Neil Gaiman going on. Yeah, have a look.
That's not yeah, it's got Mark Dreming, Dandridge, The Three Brothers, Steve Beckett, Laura Howard, John Late, Dan Harris, Gavin Mitchell, Amy Owen, Kevin Kelbrett, Tony Esmond, The Awesome Comic Podcast, Drew and many more, as well as Nick Prolix.
There you go.
Yes. So there's all that and more on the Comic House app. And like I say, if you sign up, you get access to all of those and everything else. There's books from past guests, probably future guests. And we have discovered guests on there. So, you know, we discover books just like the rest of you will. So, we love it. So go to comichouse.com for a 14-day free trial. Is that extended at the moment if you use the code?
Yes, stay safe.
I think it still is. I saw it today.
Month extension.
Yeah, month extension with the code stay safe. Which we fully agree with. So and we love Comic House. And little side note, you know, we just want to thank them for all the support over the past couple of years as well. I know.
Yes, thank you, Pete.
Yeah, definitely.
We've become good friends with the Comic House guys, and when you see them face to face, you can tell they love comics, and you know, and making comics and getting more comics out there, and that's what this show and the community that's built up around it is all about.
Yes.
So, So, thanks, Pete. That's probably the nicest thing we'll probably say about you in a while.
About anyone, to be fair.
To be fair.
We always make Pete out to be some kind of, like, ruthless overlord looking over the adverts each week, but...
Yeah. Well, I mean, his first name is Darth.
He used to go out with Mary Berry, didn't he, years ago?
Is that in her autobiography?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah. My Night with Jean Paul.
Didn't they call themselves Shake and Bake?
Yeah, their photo is in the central section, you know, the black and white photos from yesteryear.
Yeah. From yesteryear.
Surprised that one got past the censors.
Yeah. Mary Berry doing it.
Mary Belly.
That was Pete's nickname for her.
Yeah.
If you're listening, Mary, we love you. Please don't sue Mary. Us. It's been 250 weeks of I think there was one week off when internet problems and stuff like that. I think technical
issues.
One
terrible week where I did it. Me and Dan did it without you.
Yes.
We don't talk about that week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, now that I can look back on it, that's a week that changed a lot for me because I realised I could just have a week off if I wanted.
Well, that was us just like playing out a position. Just completely us. What we do next? What do we do?
Yeah. But the thing is, we've been doing this long enough we know what we're doing.
We should know things. Yeah.
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 Yeah. So, and hopefully, you know, the guests have enjoyed being on the show. And we just want to put a shout out to everyone that has appeared on this show, whether it be, you know, for just a small interview section or whether you've joined us for an entire show. Mm. We've had a right laugh. So
hundreds of people we've had on now, haven't we? Yeah. When you think about it. Yeah.
We've been introduced, and it's brilliant. I mean, personally.
The amount of comics I've come across that I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
And I hope some of the listeners have found otherwise, that, like, Tom Curry put a tweet out today and it had, Kat's book, Catching a Chat.
Follow Me In.
Yeah.
Follow Me In. And another book. And it was like, oh, yeah, both of those are great. And I don't think I'd have ever picked them up if I hadn't been on this show.
Yeah.
Because, fantastic.
Yeah. And we've had the chance, you know, I think, like, I don't know about you, but it makes it easier to approach people at conventions and stuff like that as well. If you've chatted with them before, you're like, oh, I, you know, it's just really nice. So, thank you to everyone that's come on or shared their books with us. Because, like Dan says, we've read some amazing ones, haven't we, lads?
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have people come up to a convention and we've had a comic and we've gone, look, we've picked this up. And they're like, oh, that's amazing. Where'd you get that from? We pointed out the table.
Yeah.
Then they've gone over there.
Yeah.
That's happened loads of times.
Yeah.
I think one sticks out of my mind when with Steve Sims with Battle Badgers.
Yeah.
And I was like, fucking hell, look at this. And then everyone went over there.
Everyone went over there, yeah. And you had a gangbusters of a day.
Yeah.
But don't worry, we're talking like this is, you know, the end of an era when it's just...
No, it's just the beginning.
Yeah.
Same old.
Yeah. It's just chapter one of the next part. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It is a bit of a landmark number. I know. We're not sort of popping champagne and stuff like that. We're just having like a normal show. But you know,
I'm wearing a shirt and tie.
Well, yeah,
Dan, yeah, Dan is. Up.
Yeah,
yes. Yeah. Yeah. You pulled yourself on video earlier, which you do occasionally, don't you, Dan?
Yeah.
You give us a little flash, and you had a shirt and tie on. I admire you for that.
Yeah. Well done. And we'll have to have some sort of photographic evidence of that and put that in the Facebook group.
Sure.
Yeah. But I mean,
so keen.
Have you just got the shirt on and no trousers?
No, I've got a pair of Umbro shorts. So.
Oh really?
Very very Croydon. You take the boy out of Croydon.
Yeah. Yeah. Buckingham Palace on top, Croydon at the bottom.
Body off Baywatch, face off Crime Watch.
Oh. I mean, you know, we've all got faces for radio, haven't we?
So,
yeah. But in terms of numbering and stuff, how do you feel about sort of big number issues in comics? I mean, I know it's very rare that...
don't get any more, do we?
Yeah,
yes, it's very rare now.
Yeah, it's very rare that indie or small press will get to it, unless you're like a Cerebus or...
Yeah, good shout.
Savage Dragon or something like that. Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
So they usually celebrate getting to fucking issue 5. But yeah, I tell you what, there's some comics that kind of really stand out and others where I've read it and they've gone to a big number and it's been fucking like just forced. Like, just like they make the story to be a bit of a big deal and it's like, well, you weren't really, it seems unplanned, this.
Yeah.
Whereas like, I can remember the Cap back in the day, I think it was issue 500. There was like a giant sized bit where Cap had gone off and become the captain. 300,
yeah.
And John Walker had become Captain America and he's fucking lost his shit. And it all came together in that issue where Captain America reclaimed his title and righted all the wrongs. And that arc had been running for like years. And it was like just great to see it kind of...
I love that. I keep meaning to reread that story because I really enjoyed that. You didn't know where it was going, did you?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, that was really kind of, that was back in the day taking chances.
Yeah. Well, I remember I was thinking about it. I sent you guys like a few issue 250s, didn't I, last night?
Yes.
And that's what I looked through. So what? And one of them I really remember was another Cap one, which was issue 250, where Cap almost became president of the United States. It was like this really strange one, but it was so well done. I think Marvel back in the day, you expected on the 50s and the 00s, you expected a double-sized at least issue. Mm.
But you know, was that all like original content though? Because one thing it does irk me sometimes, like where they'll make a big deal out of it being issue 500 or something, and you'll get a slightly longer story, but then like the back matter is just some shorts or just reprints of something, and it's just not the same, is it?
No, they fill it up with old reprint stuff these days, don't they? You get like a badly coloured, you know, John Buscema story from the Avengers or something, don't you? It's a bit like that. Yeah.
So, remember that Cat one? He kind of like, he's contemplating it. Someone says it to him, and then the Avengers are talking to him, and there's a kind of series of panels of like Cap standing there. It's like a mid shot, and the person behind him talking to him. There's like the Vision, Wasp, and Iron Man, and his head goes up or down depending on what they're saying. Like someone says, you'd make a really good politician, his head's up like someone, yeah wouldn't do too bad. And then Iron Man said, look, you don't want to get involved in all that politics crap, like that would be. And then I think the Vision sort of suddenly goes, oh, you're a man like out of time, you've got no real understanding of politics or anything to kind of qualify your position. He's like, oh god. And I can remember that. It was really well done.
It was John Byrne, wasn't it, and Roger Stern. I love those Byrne cap issues, really good. It's funny though, isn't it, because like Superman 500 was, I remember that being a huge deal, you know, when it was coming up, and Detective Comics was the same, and you got this, if not even double size, like triple size, and it was full of like celebrating. Marvel did it quite a good job, I think, with that. Was it 8 years of Marvel? Was that celebration they did? I kind of liked that. It was all right.
They did that big book.
It went through the eras, you know.
Or here's a question for you then. As someone that's not completely au fait with, you know, the historical stuff. I mean, obviously there's certain issues. And this could be a moral question for you, Tony. Or Dan.
Oh dear.
Dan.
Okay.
At Marvel and DC, who do you think did the landmark issues better on the whole?
Oh.
I'm always sway more towards Marvel because I was sort of born and bred on it.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's massively talking out of ignorance here. I'd go for Marvel.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
I couldn't say why.
I'm gonna do the same because I was so invested in the stories in Marvel. DC for a little period of time were more sort of story of the weeks, you know, story, you know, come and go. But Marvel had more, yeah, not just in general terms, not always, but more of a sort of continuity to them that I sort of enjoyed more. And I always knew that something big would happen, like an X-Men 150 or something like that. You know, the old team would come back, or, you know, Magneto would take over or something like that. And I don't know, I kind of look forward to it. Maybe it's because I saw Marvel more regularly than DC. So if I got a copy of, you know, this is in the 70s, I suppose, I've got a copy of DC and it was a sort of landmark issue. I don't know, I'm just trying to think what the first one I saw was. Showcase 100, maybe, something like that. Yeah.
One of the covers... Gone.
No, you go on, Dan.
No, I was going to take it off topic, like to one of the covers, but you do your bit first and then we can bring that in.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, obviously with the renumbering and, like, you know, starting things from issue one and then it gets to a certain point and then they've gone back to the old, you know, the old numbering stuff, it's completely removed any sense of spectacle or celebration when it comes to these big numbers now.
Someone the other day said, oh, it's been 150 or 200 issues of Captain Marvel. I'm like, what? Well, it all depends on what you count. If you're counting the Miss Marvel issues or you're counting the old Captain Marvel issues, or, you know. And
that's a real stretch to claim that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying we've got all these mini-series. You put them together and that's issue 250.
That seems to be what they're doing, which is a shame. And the Detective Comic one where Batman did it as well, didn't they? They went back to the old numbering. I don't know, it messes up the book that I keep of all the comics I buy.
Kind of question, like, if it's not kind of like a run, long interrupted run, why are you doing that? Why are you sort of changing the number sequence, think, oh shit, we better change back. I don't really get that. But
yeah. I mean, it's nice to celebrate that Detective Comics thing with the issue 1000, or was it Action Comics did it? I can't remember now. I think they both did, didn't they? I kind of enjoyed that. It was sort of multiple covers. They were all on a big table in Orbital, back when Orbital used to get comics and we had actual comic shops and everything, you know, comics actually functioned. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, though, because once you've broken the chain of the ongoing numbering system, it just loses its specialness for me.
When you try and claim that 250 or 500 or whatever and it's unearned, it's really just that comes across as a marketing gimmick which turns people off fucking immediately.
I mean, but they're all marketing gimmicks in their own way, aren't they? Let's face it, a lot of the, especially like these events or like, you know, special numbered issues,
issue ones.
But
in a way, that's like, it's even more naked when they do something like that, though.
Kind of.
I was going to say that one of the issues that Tony sent on to us was the 250th Zarjazz issue of 2000 AD.
Oh yeah, with the Apocalypse War.
Yeah, that's that whole run of stories, and that was fucking dynamite.
Yeah, I remember that very well. That was mostly Carlos, wasn't it? And the Russians were invading Mega City, and it was like, oh my god, what's going on here? It's pretty much their longest run, I think, at the time of a single story.
Didn't it start off with like the Block War and then went into that?
Yeah.
I mean, for 2000 AD, they got there pretty quickly, didn't they? Because they're a weekly book, so that would have
been. Yeah, exactly.
Well, it would have been like the show in the space of like 5 years or something like that, wouldn't it? It would have been 5 years. God.
Fucking hell.
Of talking to you two.
Lovely, isn't it? Best ever.
Yeah, just think of all the hours where we could have been doing something else.
Looking at my phone. Complaining there's nothing on fucking Netflix.
Staring into the dead eyes of my partner.
Yeah. Just to clarify, she is alive.
Is she?
Yes.
Got like shark eyes.
Yeah.
Is she? Tony has been destined to be a Netflix documentary at some point.
I read the I'm preparing for a podcast with Mr. Tom, and I read the Jeffrey Dahmer book today. That's a good book, you know.
My Friend Dahmer.
My Friend Dahmer. Yeah. I've never read that.
Oh, it's good. It's good, mate. And I watched, sadly, I know we don't talk about films, but I watched the film and it's very close to the comic, actually. I was quite pleasantly surprised. But the comic is amazing. Yeah, really good.
Yeah. Oh, nice one. I might have read that yonks ago. I can't remember much about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely read that a while ago.
The creator, Backderf, he went to school with him.
Yeah.
So, I recommend it. We're going to do a podcast on it next week.
Brilliant. Look forward to that.
Oh, nice.
I listened to the one you. Yeah.
Go on. What's that, mate?
One you and Vince did.
Yeah, that was a fun one. That was good fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, really good.
Yeah. I mean,
fact you really fucking went down on it and got your research locked in and you knew what you were talking about. It was really informative.
Thank you, mate. Yeah.
I had no idea what I was fucking talking about.
You're such a liar. You came in fully prepared. You came in with all the names. I was very impressed when you went, oh, the names of them are. And I'm like, yes, here we go. Right. We're sparring now. Knowledge sparring. It was good. Yeah.
That was great fun. See, this show has a spin-off podcast, which you can check out. Then there's loads of great comics and stuff on there. Where can people find that, Tony?
NeverIronAnything.podbean.com.
Yes. I've been training you for the past few years now.
I think the ground is prepped and fertile enough for a Stormforce episode of that.
Yeah. I need to be able to get hold of it somewhere. They need to release it somewhere.
Maybe I've been scanned. You know, I've said
maybe that someone had scanned all the comics.
I've said about it before that I'm scanning pages for my own personal book I want to collect, because they'll never gonna do the collections. It's a personal book I'm going to print out for myself, but I'll be able to
laminate.
Not like that, although Vanyo's art.
Go down the market with it. Don't really be able to get any money back on that. Photocopies of a 20-year-old comic.
Someone probably would, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look at the old shit that comic company puts out. Who wants to know about a ballet dancing girl from a comic? You know. Anyway, I'm only joking. I want to see it. To be fair,
I'm fucking buying that fucking New Warriors comic when it comes out. You know the one everyone's been deriding? I think they've actually pushed the date back. It was supposed to be out this week or the week before, and they pushed it back a week. If that fucking comic gets beyond issue 3, I'd be very surprised.
I will say this, though. Despite all of whatever's been said on the internet or when we've looked at each other and gone, what? Whenever any of these new comics come out, I'd really like them to be amazing.
I want to make my own mind up. As well, I do go in there and look at it without just like being one of the people who jumps on board. I mean, there are extremes on there, to be fair. I do like to go and look at it and look as much of it as I can before I decide.
Yeah.
I mean, when like the guy himself was talking about it, I was like, can you hear yourself? Who do you run this past? Internet gas. But
I genuinely thought that was satire when I was watching it. I couldn't make my mind up. It's like that the first time I saw Titania McGrath on Twitter.
Yeah,
I thought,
what?
This is satire.
He was about to go off, and then he realized, no, this can't be real. And he sort of dug down a bit. Yeah, it is. Thank fuck. But he said, when he was going to write the comic, he said he was concerned when he first saw New Warriors. He didn't used to read it because he was too intimidated by Night Thrasher on the cover.
What?
This is the guy that got right on the character now, okay?
Have you seen the video? Because he was one of those geek dating shows or something, wasn't he?
I saw that. That's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
I watched the Marvel video of it and that of the trailer thing, and it was just an absolute car crash.
Right.
I just I don't know. Fair play. I mean, one thing that's been interesting, people doing I didn't mind the designs too much, but then loads of people did redesigns of the costumes of the characters and stuff. Right. At least something artistically creative has popped out from it, but there we go. Yeah, so I'll read that. I'll take one on the chin for the ACP.
I mean, there's a lot to be said about like character design and stuff like that, isn't there? I mean,
Wild Goose has just sent us something rude on the
Oh, what's not that? Chris. Not Chris Wild Goose. I mean, who wants to? Oh, hang on.
Hang on.
You're right, lads.
Hey.
Hello. All right, Chris.
What brings you here?
Oh, I just thought I'd drop in, mate. How are you doing? Wait. How are you doing? Oh!
I just saw that message on WhatsApp.
You guys have had influence. It's only like this when you're around.
There you go, Vince. That one.
Laura.
I've made a note of that. I've made a note of that. And your name's gone in the book.
It's probably got a few marks against it now, hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, some people would call it evidence.
So we should introduce them.
Yes.
Shall I do it?
Well, yes. they can introduce themselves.
Yes. Christian Wild Goose, purveyor of filth.
Yeah.
And is good lady and the only sensible member of this current podcast, Laura Trinder. There you go. Hey, Laura.
Welcome.
Hello.
Excellent.
I'll take that.
We said we were going to have some lovely guests pop in, much like Noel's house party. Yes, I've made that reference again. And there's probably lots of people who don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Who can blame you? But yes, thank you for popping in this week, guys. How are you doing? You're both super busy as always.
We're all right. Yeah.
I mean, when Chris isn't sending selfies of himself on WhatsApp to us.
I thought you'd be impressed by that, Vince.
Well, it's the fact that you've shaved.
Around it, yeah.
I mentioned
earlier in the week that I turned the save WhatsApp pictures to my phone because it was on, and my phone was just filling up with absolutely horrific imagery. And that is like just the prime example why I've turned that option off.
glad I could get one in there for you.
Yeah. For those who are wondering what we're talking about, we will never tell you because we probably get banned or kicked off Facebook or God knows whatever. This isn't. I mean, it could be a thread on the Facebook group, but it's not going to be.
Oh Lord, no!
Oh yeah. God, no!
You could easily get away with that on our Facebook group on there.
Vince was absolutely blown away by your portrait of him.
Oh mate, so good.
He loved it. As did
Noel. Cheers, man. Oh, it was a good fun one. Yeah, although I feel really bad because I didn't get all of his cats in there. I thought Vince only had one cat because I could only find one cat picture on his Facebook.
Well,
he's got an army of cats.
Yeah, I do have an army of cats. But that's right, you've got Bobby. That's the, you know, he's my right
favorite.
He's my right hand man. I don't have favorites. We don't play favorites in this house. apart from at the moment, we're with our favorite guests, of course.
Yes, obviously.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure. Yeah,
what are you guys? Yeah. What are you guys working on at the moment? Then, what you got on the boards at the moment?
Well, I'm doing a midway through a mini series for Boom at the moment called Alienated with writer Syce Burrier,
which is a great book, by the way. Dude.
Amazing,
brilliant book.
Cheers, guys. Thanks. Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. It's no one's seen it yet, but it gets really weird, and I'm well out of my comfort zone with it, drawing it and stuff, because it's all weird, surreal, psychedelic stuff. And I've shown Tony some stuff.
Yeah, so that page is amazing, man. That's really good. You shouldn't feel out your comfort zone. That's ideal. I think that's really nice. Yeah, channeling a bit of Brendan McCarthy. Sorry, Laura, what did you say, mate?
I was just going to say, I think he's really well suited that kind of stuff.
Yeah, me
too. He looks really cool.
Cheers, guys. No, it's going good. It's I think it's slightly on hold at the moment because of everything going on.
Not for
me though. Obviously,
you're still drawing though. You haven't had a pens down message or anything.
No. Yeah. Luckily, I think I've dodged that bullet because Si has written it all, and I've done all the covers for it and over halfway with it, so I think they're just kind of like
it's in the middle of being released now, isn't it? I suppose is the thing, so it's a hard one to put a stop to. Mm. yeah
and because it's limited and it's just like one
and
of the
brilliant, obviously
well yeah that's obviously the big one, isn't it? so that's me at the moment. That's the only thing I'm doing.
Well, apart from we did have a conversation earlier in the week where you've teased the fact that Porcelain is has had a little bit of a live action twiddle, hasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I think my my brother got a bit overexcited and released it when he shouldn't have, and then it got immediately taken off. But
I didn't realise it. Yeah. Okay. Right.
Yeah. So there is a mini. There's like a sort of short film of the first porcelain book, which my brother, who works in films, he makes like props and weapons for films, and I worked in with him on some stuff before, like I did. The Assassin's Creed film with him and some other bits. Like
you can't,
he's always...
you can't talk about the other movie, can you? Is that right?
What that I've worked on recently?
Yeah,
yeah. There were, I did a couple of TV shows and I did a. I nearly gave it away there. I did a film.
Yeah,
which is. A big one, but yeah, I only did like a tiny bit on it, and then I kind of left it for Alienated. But
right, okay.
It was like a big bit. It was like a one thing for a big character. So, and nice. They kept it as well. Apparently, this thing that I've designed. So I'll try not to annoy you by being too vague anymore. Yeah. But I've done a bit of concept stuff recently and. But yeah, and yeah, like you say, there is a porcelain film. We don't know what's. It's kind of like been made. It's like a 40-minute thing, and we're just kind of waiting for the right sort of. So he's like sort of chasing up producers and stuff like that to make it. Hopefully, make a bigger, fuller thing, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
But he's just like my brother's just made this thing and funded it completely himself and. He sort of co-wrote it with Ben, like based on the first book, and then they've sort of shortened it down to a 40-minute thing, and then so the idea is that it'll sell, hopefully get a bigger production,
get made into a feature sort of thing. Yeah. The little bits that we saw online look amazing, mate. Look fucking brilliant, and really in keeping with the book, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I've got to say I was telling you, Tony, the other day that it. Some shots, like my brother used, rather than storyboards, he used the book as storyboards.
Nice.
So some of the
which
shots
is perfect, isn't it? It just makes sense.
Yeah.
If you've got the reference there, and if it's, you know, because there's a certain amount of cinematography to sequential storytelling as well, isn't there? So, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, I would love to do more storyboarding stuff, and comics has just been the best sort of. Yeah.
We don't want you to do storyboarding. Yeah.
And to be honest, we've heard enough about you, Laura.
All right.
Obviously, you got
Chris
the.
Just snapped pencil in frustration.
Yeah. You got like the second book in the Midnight Hour trilogy coming out, haven't you?
Yeah. It was meant to be out in 2 weeks, but it's been postponed because of everything going on. Yeah, so it's coming out in September now. I'm really excited for it to come out. Yeah, so that's book two in me and Ben's, Ben who wrote Gwendolyn's children's book series. So it's not a comic, it's a children's novel series that we're doing, but it's inspired by a comic that we did with Improper Books called Night Post.
Oh, that's the best book as well. That book, I have to say, you're doing really well in international sales as well. I know. Is it available in virtually every country in the world now, isn't it, in different languages? Is that right? The first one?
Everywhere. Yeah. So we're really, really pleased so far. It's sold to about, I'm not sure, about 19 countries, I think.
Wow.
So far, which is we're really, really pleased with. Our more recent one has been China. I'm very excited about the Chinese copy.
Okay.
Because it's coming out with, like, our publisher, which is Chicken House, has set up their own, Chinese imprint with a Chinese publisher. And it's one of only 5 titles they're sort of kicking off this new imprint with over in China.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
And, book and children's books in China is in a really, really interesting place right now.
I've heard
they have a lot of children over there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there'll be a lot more children soon as well, let's face it. It's good to be in
China. Yeah. 17 million babies born every year already over there.
Got to get those COVID babies in.
Yeah, there's
God. As long as you don't name it COVID.
Oh god, there's going to be all sorts of quarantine themed names, isn't there?
Cough.
Yeah. you know there's a baby somewhere called TikTok, don't you?
Yeah. Oh god. Or twins, one's called Tick and the other's called Tok.
Yeah. I'd look at TikTok the other day and it's just everyone doing that stupid
you
dance.
Had a look at TikTok.
Yeah, what are you doing on TikTok?
What are you...
I'm on TikTok. I've got a TikTok account.
Okay, boomer.
With the midnight hour though, I mean obviously you've done the comic convention circuit and stuff with like Night Post and things. How is like the book market and the way you're doing that? How does that differ? How the experiences of doing that?
It's completely different. well, I don't know. It has been for me completely different. Apart from we took Midnight Hour, the first book, with us to Thought Bubble last year. Mm. And I was really unsure about how that would go down. But it did really, really well. Like, we sold out. And, yeah, I didn't think people would really be that interested at our comic, obviously, convention. But, yeah, it was really popular. I was really, really pleased. But apart from that, I haven't done... I mean, there are book festivals and stuff, obviously, but I haven't done any to promote... And I haven't done any festivals
You get, like, a lot of festivals where they do readings and stuff like that. You do all that sort of thing, don't you?
Yeah, I visit bookshops and schools and things, but I haven't been to any festivals yet. I would like to. In fact, my publisher did send me to a festival last year. They sent me to Latitude Festival.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And it was so cool. Yeah, I haven't been to a book festival, but they sent me to Latitude, because Latitude have a really cool schools program.
Right.
So on Friday, they have tons of schools come in, and because they've got, it's like a real big family festival, Latitude, and they have a huge children's section. So I did workshops there. That was really good. That was really good fun. And then we just got to hang out. Me and Chris both got to go and both just got to hang out at the festival for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah.
It's lovely. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I was the trophy wife.
Yeah. Just off your face at the front of the festival. Yeah, off your nut. Yeah, hoses, nobody.
Yeah. I was just the lady of leisure walking around the festival just soaking up drinks while Laura was doing kids' workshops. And then found me afterwards.
I think he quite enjoyed it, because usually it's the other way around. Like, I went to Breda with Chris when Chris did a Comic Con in Breda in September, and I was just like the little wife. Just went looking around at the shops and all the stores for the day while Chris was signing books.
They said to Laura,
No, don't.
Well, Laura was advised that she could go and do some shopping while I was doing my...
I did tell me what all of the shops opening and closing hours was, as if I wouldn't be interested in books. I'd like one to come and just go shopping while...
Oh, they're just trying to be
They're
nice,
being helpful, but we just kind of made a bit of a joke.
Laura was a bit taken aback by
it. No, we were just joking about it, if I was like... Yeah, I was there as a lady of pleasure just to go shopping while Chris did all the booky stuff. And so Chris got to do that while I was at Latitude. Also, one of our favourite moments like this is when Chris did a signing once at Orbital. Was it Orbital?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And it was one of his first ever signings, and someone came up to me there and told me that if I stuck around at the end, maybe I would get to meet the artist.
She did, and look how that turned out.
Yeah. And I was like, look at me.
Yeah. Ben recently as well. You got told you could meet Ben.
Did I?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Somebody... fucked up. I was hoping you were going to remember the rest of the story.
All this movie money you'll be making, Chris, it'll be in and out driveways, and you know, it'll all be different.
Well, the way things are going, I think Laura's going to be the one making all the movie money, and I'm going to be the at home.
I wish.
I'll happily do that though. On a little penny, you know.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, but ever since that Orbital thing, I've always wanted to make T-shirts. So every time I go to like Chris's signings and stuff, I can look like a mega fan.
And
we need to make Chris a T-shirt that just has "Trophy Wife" written on it.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Yeah. For my events. Yeah.
I'll wear one as well.
Yeah, we should all wear one just to really freak people out.
Yeah, I'll just make them at Christmas and just hand them out to everyone as Christmas presents and shit.
Make it so. So, how are you guys doing during this whole COVID stuff and just general life? Has anyone asked how you're doing?
Yeah, we're okay.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Well, I spoke to you the other day. I was chatting to you for an hour or so while you were drawing the other day on Skype. That's the marvellous thing about it. I don't actually
Tony kept flashing his toys up at the camera as well.
What?
We were having a toy off, weren't we, Tony?
We were. I showed you my giant-sized man thing. The camera.
Yeah. I thought it was only a little one, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's a good size, you told me.
Yeah.
It's what you do with it, isn't it?
It's all about perspective, isn't it?
Yeah.
You should really play innuendo bingo on this pod.
Yes, yeah. That's true.
People have made bingo cards out. I think Sam Webster made a bingo card out of this show once.
It was quite on point. Has to be said.
It was.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, he's kind of got us to a T there.
Even when we call someone a good egg or something like that.
Friend of the show was another one, wasn't
friend
it?
Of the show, yep.
Yeah.
Probably every time Chris Wild Goose drops the C bomb.
Hey!
You know, I mean.
I'm just biding my time for the next one, Vince.
You're just encouraging him.
He's on edge now, isn't he? He's like, he's there with that foghorn.
Well, you know, I'm never on edge with you, Chris. You know that. You know, I just miss holding you in my arms.
I like being wrapped up like a little bear cub in your arms, snuggling up to your chin.
Yeah,
rubbing my nose up against it.
Chris
watch,
and Laura, yeah.
Watch it, man. Your wife's there.
She just likes to watch.
Well,
it takes the pressure off me, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't have to do as much hugging when you're around.
Have you guys got any idea when your next con's
going to
be? I guess no one does.
No, we still.
I'm hoping Thought Bubble's going to go ahead. I really am.
Yeah, me too. I love Thought Bubble. I don't know.
Everything's so uncertain, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think we're just going to have to wait until we get nearer the time and then see what it's like. And I don't know. Very difficult.
I mean, I think Thought Bubble was our only one for this year, wasn't it?
Mm. Oh, maybe Nottingham.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, sorry.
Nottingham are still holding on, aren't they? They're holding their breath a bit, I think.
Mm.
Yeah.
I would be especially gutted if Nottingham didn't go ahead this year. I mean, I would any year, but isn't Miriam Margolyes meant to be there? I mean, come on.
Yeah. She'll be first on Tony's list to go and see, I imagine.
Who's that, Miriam Margolyes?
Yeah.
Well, the lady who did that chocolate advert as a sexy rabbit.
You did do the sexy rabbit, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've not seen that one.
What's happening right now?
I don't know, I'm a bit confused. I'm sort of sitting back in my chair with my hands behind my head thinking, Miriam Margolyes. Yeah, probably would.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus.
What?
I've never said that before about what any of your choices, Tony.
Normally you go with it, you just sort of nod.
No, I can't, no.
Miriam is
that's been very rude to Miriam. Yeah, it's kind of a funny time. Like, we've kind of all kind of aiming at Thought Bubble, and we still don't know where it's going to kind of go ahead, and there's nothing to say either way. So it's such a kind of, real difficult time.
I think you've just kind of got, like, if you want to go, I think you should probably, it's a good idea to just have that plan in mind. And then if it falls apart, then you're kind of prepared for it, maybe, because it's like, it's always
just
a big
like
chance.
Booking hotels and stuff like that. Yeah. You're going to not want to spend money on things if you might lose it.
Because I wonder about, like, if they got US guests or international guests coming in, will they be able to travel over?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know when we're looking at being able to fly, and they're talking about, you know, all this stuff about you might have to have a bit of paper to say you've had the virus to be able to fly, you know.
Really?
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's mad, because even people who've had, not everyone who's had it has had a test, and I bet they probably wouldn't take your word for it unless you've been tested.
Yeah, that's why I think we'll have to roll out testing for everyone before they decide about that, I think. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? Yeah, it's really, I mean, New York tickets are normally out by now, which they haven't been. They've waited till right to the last minute to stop San Diego this year, didn't they? I think the problem is with a lot of conventions, they don't cancel them because there's a condition with the venue that you can't cancel without having to swallow the booking fee and all this sort of thing. It's a funny time.
Yeah. I can imagine like insurance gets really messy with stuff like this.
Yeah.
And like unless they're sort of told they have to not do it, then they probably would lose out on a lot of money and stuff.
Maybe. Also getting comics back into the shops.
Yeah, who's going to distribute the comics even to the comic conventions? You know, who's going to be the distributor to stuff and to the shops? And yeah, it's a real worry. We keep hearing all this stuff about this, you know, DCBS are going to do a lot of the comic shops in America. Midtown are taking over some form of distribution model. DC don't want to be in part of it. But nobody seems to say what's happening with the UK at the moment, you know.
I can't find anything.
Yeah, it's a worry, man. Yeah.
Well, as long as you guys are healthy and happy and... Obviously, Chris, you get back to work. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you've been talking to us long enough. Surely. I mean, how did you let him get away from his table, Laura?
We're actually at his table.
I was expecting.
Oh, I see.
Listen, I had to come to him. Yeah.
Oh, why are we not surprised?
All right, guys.
Probably still get done.
Yeah,
it's true. Do you want to get another C bomb in before you leave, Chris?
Don't encourage him.
They're gone.
And they're gone. I knew you were about to do that. It was making me laugh. I thought he's going to do anything any minute. I didn't want to ask another question because I knew you were just going to hang up on them for a laugh.
I didn't realise that was going to happen. I apologise.
Yes, you lie.
You don't lie. We just want to stay up front that they knew that was coming.
we put it in the WhatsApp group. Really?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, after what Wild Goose did to our WhatsApp group, I should have done it 10 minutes sooner.
That's pretty savage. I might have to send another couple of messages just to get that off the screen. Take someone's eye out with that.
I got. How do you delete that? I don't want to look at that while I'm typing another message.
You can hold on to it and choose to delete. If you hold on to it.
Oh, I can delete. There you go. Delete. Oh, yeah, there you go. I failed it. You have to move your hand up and down a bit.
Yeah,
you
really got to push hard on it.
And then,
I just clicked on it and went full screen.
Yeah. And then when it's done, you can just drop it in the bin. Anyway,
the blinds are open, so if anyone was looking through, picture of a massive man's member. Oh, I used to see it anyway, so.
Oh dear. Well, as you can tell, episode 250 is going to go every which way but loose, which will probably be the name of the episode. But yeah, thanks to Chris and Laura for joining us for a little bit.
Now, we've got a couple of things to do. We've got, 10 minutes before something else happens? Do we need to open a certain package, do we?
Yes. Let's do the opening.
We do now, that.
Yeah.
So do you want to
Who wants to cue this in before we do the opening? Tony, do you want to?
Yeah. So unbeknownst to us, our pal Aaron Rackley, and bingo again, a good egg, and he runs Little Heroes charity and the Fairspark Books imprint, for which we all do something. Put out a call, a secret call that didn't involve us, to do something. We didn't really know what it was, but like people have spent their lives taking the piss out of us, so we kind of roll with things, don't we? And and he sent us a package, which I've opened, and in it is the Awesome Comics Podcast, where Small Press makes a big noise, 250 slightly successful episodes, special edition comic.
Right. I'm going to open mine now. Then.
I'm going to open mine now.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Live on air.
While you're doing that, I'll read the people who have taken part in it. So we've got Dave Hingley, Tom Spark, Alan Henson, Tom Curry, Kieran Squires, Russell Olson, Sam Webster, Dave Robertson, Damien Edwardson, Gustavo Vargas, Kev Cooling, Cliff Cumber, Dave Kennedy, Zachary Cobb, and Comic House.
There's a couple of issues of this as well.
Yeah, I think he sent us three each, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, they've got a lovely smell of print as well. This looks amazing.
Yeah. Oh, good. The first page of art is a picture of my balls. Good. Thank you, Tom.
That's awesome.
Who's the next one? Alan Henderson's done something. I think Alan's done the one about you not pressing record, Vince. So he's done Vince, get off the ledge.
Yeah.
We'll press the record button.
Well,
Vince did press the record button, though. It corrupted, didn't it?
It's Alan Henderson's done that one. Sorry, yeah, Alan Henderson's done that one. Thanks, Al.
Yeah, what did I do? No, actually, I think it just didn't record. I can't remember why.
Yeah. Right. Tom's done one, a Pixel comic. It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's good stuff. There's a Cobra one.
Oh, that is amazing.
That's by Kieran Squires. Nice.
Kieran, that's fucking awesome.
It's all you. It's all pictures. Yeah. Funk you. That's got to be your fucking icon. That's
brilliant.
Yeah. There's a hit, The Coming of the Skrull Lords, by Russell Olsen. So like little history, which we got told the other day, didn't we?
Yeah.
But
sorry if I'm going quiet. I'm actually just literally reading.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a picture. Sam Webster's done a strip for it. It's got you picking your nose, Vince.
Yeah. I don't know where you got that reference.
Yeah. Dave Robertson's done. Oh, what's this about discovering it? I mean, some pals have a shittiest comic competition for under £1. Good stuff. Yeah. So this is. I mean, so do each of these.
The Ricky
so
Skeets.
Ricky Skeets has got a boner.
Remember Ricky Skeets? How I miss him.
Episode 226. I'm gonna have to go back to that.
Yeah. So is each of these pages inspired by a specific episode? Then
it looks that way. Yeah.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Because yeah. Episode 230, it got a picture of testicles. Yeah.
Oh, it was a Nicolas Cage page. Who's done that? Who's done the? Who's done that one? I'm just trying to work backwards.
No.
The Nicolas Cage one's Gustavo.
Gustavo. Oh okay. Man, that's ace.
Yeah.
So Damon Edwardson did Ricky Skeets. That's good. I do look like the Bigfoot from the $6 Million Man series in that. To be fair, so yeah. Factually accurate in that one. No, Tony Gon Vincenzo. I'll give you a fiver. I'll give a fiver to the cat. What the fuck is this? And then I'm in bed with you, Vince. What's happened there?
Well, I mean, it's happened. I mean,
that's by Kev Cooling. Thank you,
Kev Cooling. This next one is Dave Hingley. I hope we can put this out as a PDF. I hope Aaron can let everyone see this.
I mean, the one for episode 230, which is clearly by Cliff Cumber, because. That is my balls. That's Tony's balls. Tony ball.
Yeah.
Tony ball bag. Almost.
Zoot Allures. The one by Dave Hingley is about me going on about that comic about death by shit. Dave Kennedy's done a good one. I like Dave's. Oh, he's done himself. Reek chaps. Ne'er then dust yon men won't talk. But I don't understand. That's Northern.
No. There you go.
But he's eating a pie.
He's eating a pie, of course he is. He loves a pie, doesn't he? Yeah. And a pickle dick.
Yeah.
Zach Cobb's done one. Thank you, Zach. Zach's from... this one with you kissing Cyclops. Me and Scott are having our honeymoon in Madripoor. If he's too busy, you can always give Havoc a shout. He can Havoc on my bumhole. Oh my god. He's done like a 90s Havoc as well, not the traditional costume.
That's fantastic.
I'd like a Jubilee up my anus. Nice.
Well, that might have been a quote from the show, you know.
I think so.
Thank you so much to everyone.
This is brilliant.
This is brilliant. It's got the list on the back.
Yeah.
Nice one. That's brilliant.
Thank you to everyone that took part in this.
Oh, and Tom's written the intro. Tom Stewart.
Ah, nice.
I have to read this when we finish the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to read that. So it says, published in 2020 by Cock and Bull Publishing, brackets, not a real company.
I tell you what, though, that logo, that could totally be a real company. I think that should be a real company.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. No, thank you so much. And it says... You know, we've got the best sort of listeners and friends on
that's the amazing.
So, yeah. Brilliant. So thank you to everyone for taking the time and effort to do this, because that's very, very nice.
Thanks, Aaron, for spearheading that. That's top. Yeah. Man.
And you're spot on with slightly successful episodes, because
yeah.
I mean, the guests.
Are we winners?
Yeah, the guests are always amazing. It's what happens around it that you've got to worry about it sometimes. But, you know, we keep on trucking. And you never know what's going to happen on this show at any time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I'm going to probably reread that several times.
God, yeah. I'm going to have to listen to the episodes again.
Yeah.
For those...
What, for the actual specific...
Some of the references. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good, though.
Cobra one. Like, I can't believe the art style is bang on as well.
Yeah.
It's so well done.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's quality. We will be like... We will get a PDF of this up and ready for you all to check.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. Yeah, let's stick it on the group. Yeah, it's good to shout. Yeah. Thanks, guys. That is like the nicest thing. I don't know.
Yeah, you can't top that. I'm kind of a bit speechless about that. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing.
So thanks again to Aaron. And of course, if you're listening, definitely support Little Heroes.
Yeah, he's looking for donations at the moment. I dropped a few coins in there. I think he just needs some money just to keep it going a bit during this crisis. And if there was ever a reason, it's this. So we'll put this on the Facebook group and everyone can drop a few quid to him. I think it's worth it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we love it. And obviously, you know, I've been thinking about maybe doing some charity type artwork and stuff.
Oh, nice.
Trying to help people out. But, you know. Well, I mean, who would want to have anything to do with us, though?
That's true. Yeah. Apart from...
Maybe some Scottish bloke, eh?
Hey! What are you doing?
Is that Russ Abbott?
Was Russ Abbott Scottish?
I don't know, actually.
One of his famous characters was apparently Scottish.
Oh, was the really racist one, you mean?
What's the name of the character?
No, let's not do it. Let's look. We're joined by Tom from That Comic Smellers.
Yes,
he's joined us.
Hey, what Tom, you right?
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. How you guys doing?
Good. Yeah, great.
Yeah, we're not drinking, are we? I'm not drinking. Are you drinking?
No, I'm drinking coffee.
Yeah,
I'm drinking coffee.
Yeah,
you're probably drinking because you're in Scotland.
Well, I'm just perpetually always hooked up to something, you know. It's Dundee. I stay in a fix or something at some point. You know,
if you do Class B in Dundee, you get a kicking because it's not Class A, is it? Do you know what I mean? That's how it is up there. Yeah. It's hardcore.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Scotland, I'm going to be tapping you up, Tom, for when I next write the Woden character in Vanguard.
Yes.
Gave me some good feedback on that, and I need to amend that. I can't have that in the comic talking like a knob. Some of his characters.
Yeah, there is a beautiful history of like terrible Scottish characters in comics, isn't there? Do you know what I mean? They just can't get the voice right. Is it Jings? What's that thing that I always used to see?
It's always Jings Crivens. Yeah. Lots of people go for that. there's a Jings or spelling as Dan knows spelling fuck with F-O-O-K.
Fook.
Yeah,
it's more like Mel B from fucking Bo Selecta.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
I never
you bastard! Yeah,
Bo Selecta. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, just the same.
Yeah. But that speaks to like and Dan, like, good on you for like sort of acknowledging that and then looking to correct it, because some people probably wouldn't care, wouldn't they? I mean, certainly there's probably people in the bigger publishers or whatever that wouldn't. That they would think, oh, I've got a handle on this, I know what I'm doing, when they really don't.
Tom and Tony both brought up, look, you've done a couple of shows this year on reviews and feedback, and I've taken both of those like on board, what you said, and made changes in the way I do stuff in my comic directly, like from feedback I've got from others. And yourself, Tom, like, you've got change for the better, and taking on input which you think's worthy of change is you've got to act on it to make yourself better.
Yeah,
I'm glad you see it that way as well, though. I mean, putting out as well. I'm putting out criticizing somebody's work. I'm shitting myself at the other end that they're going to take it badly. I doubt that you would, because you have mentioned in the past, Dan, that you take everything on board. But you know, there's always that slight chance that you could come back and say, "Oh, I think I can't write fucking characters," you know.
it's not
and then that's it.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're just lying, Tom, aren't you? Otherwise, you're not being honest.
Yeah.
People don't, you know, none of us should be doing that, really.
Yeah. It's not unfounded, though, to think that, because there have been creators that have received very minimal feedback, not even, horrible just feedback and that they've not liked. And on the ban list, you go, what are you talking about? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not the way. I mean,
The whole critical reviewing of comics has changed in the last few years, and since after we started this show. There's very few sites, unless you're just a hit YouTube site who does hit pieces, nobody reviews comics, apart from a couple of people now, in any way critically. It just seems to be a list of like lovely adjectives that people expect you to say their comic's amazing.
Probably so they can still get on the free comics list.
That's the trouble.
That's a long-held belief of mine. I remember being critical of 2008 at one point and then pulling me off their list. Yeah.
You've been blocked by anybody recently, Tony?
Yeah. Yeah. Funny you mention it. Yes. I may have recently been blocked by someone. Yeah. Not the company, to be fair. You know, just the editor of the book. Past guest, obviously. Not naming names, but and that's it's just childish, mate. It's just childish.
I've read the review in question, and there's nothing really. I wouldn't say there's anything really untoward in there.
No,
it doesn't really warrant that. But hey ho, if that's the way they want to take it, then that's their loss. You know?
But it's bounced beyond comics now. So people from outside of our industry believe that these comics are, you know, perfect pieces of literature now, and so forth have been like taking them into other mediums. So we've had a number of comics that are just like awful rubbish that have been made into TV series recently, you know, because people believe just the hype, because, you know, we're not like the film industry where, you know, some sites are hit sites, but some sites actually, you know, grasp the nettle and decide to talk about a film, the good points and the bad points, which is what we should be doing.
It used to be this way with video games. You used to go to sites and say, right, let's see what this game got, see if I'm going to drop 40 quid, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then like, you get to the point, you find out they're taking backenders to get. And if they don't give a game a good review, that company doesn't put banner adverts on your website or something. Yeah. And you're like, well, what
people
the fuck?
Are so
what's the point?
Of upsetting people now. Yeah.
I think it's the trouble. Once you become successful, that you start earning that money. Yeah. If you give a truthful review, it might jeopardize your income.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a TV series that's just been cancelled. We won't name it because we're not into doing that. But there's a TV series that's just been cancelled. And if you actually look at the sales figures on that actual comic, they're below like 2,000 every time. But somebody has reviewed it and somebody's looked it up and thought, oh, this is amazing, this comic. This is like the big hit at the moment. And it's not, you know.
Yeah. I mean, because you get the reader numbers, like big readers doesn't mean it's a great book, but it's a fair indication that if thousands and thousands of people are buying this issue,
they're going to translate into people watching the TV series. Yeah. They're going to translate into those thousands and thousands of people.
There must be something people, here that is worthy.
Yeah.
But there we go.
It's sort of it's diminishing the power of a review as well.
The validity, really. The validity of it as well. Yeah, completely.
Yeah, completely.
And I think we're now more in the, well, certainly with this show. I mean, some of them are quite sort of review-ish, and we've been used as pull quotes and stuff. But we treat it more like...
Oh, look at you.
hey, we had a great one for Nocturnal Commissions just the other week, which is...
Yeah, you did.
That's how it works for us.
Yeah.
I mean, if we see something wrong with it, we're not backwards in coming forwards of saying it. That's the good thing about it. You know, we are honest. We're not just going to say, oh, this is amazing. What an amazing... What's that? It always compares to me. Have you seen that 30 Rock episode where she goes to see her friend in the theatre and she says, what do you think? She says, oh, I love the light.
Yeah. We used to have a similar thing back in uni. Like if you did like... people put their work up and you have to have an appraisal and like people go around and you talk about the work and like the instructor used to pick someone out and say, well, what do you think of this piece? And if someone said, oh, I really like the composition and the colours, that was... I've got nothing good to say about this.
Tom, ever since you got together and you started that comic smell, which has just gone from strength to strength every week, you're obviously now in a position where you're seeing like more stuff. You're being sent stuff, aren't you? And things like that. You know, what is the experience for you been like seeing all these new comics and stuff like that?
Do you know what? It's really daunting, to be honest, because when you get sent something, you almost start to feel guilty if it's sitting there for too long. But obviously, we only meet up every month. I think people forget that we only meet up every month. I mean, I fill stuff with like interviews or backdated episodes or whatever, so it takes a while for stuff to come around. And there has been a couple of folk that have sort of chased up and said, oh, just want to double check that you've still got it. I'm like, oh, I've spoke about it weeks ago, the fucking episode's just not out yet. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, what's worse is when you speak about it and then you know they haven't listened, you know.
Yes, that has happened a number of times. I actually went out of my way to speak about something and then heard absolutely toot, just nothing. It's like just an acknowledgement that you even heard it. I don't care if you liked it or not, just fucking just as long as you've heard it, but nothing.
You know, there is something fantastic about, you know, because both of these shows that we're, you know, ours and Tom's, they are very much off our own back. We're doing this just purely because we love it. We're not really, you know, this isn't a job for us. This isn't, you know, we're not a paid marketing exercise for your, you know, for big publishers to send us stuff. So anything that we get, we truly appreciate. And some of the best experiences, and I'm sure you'll say this as well, Tom, is like when you read a book and you say something about it on your show or whatever, and then out of the blue, like the creator comes to you online or whatever and says, thank you so much, that was really, you know, that made my week, you know, that was really nice what you you know, what I heard on your show and stuff,
you know? Yeah,
and it just sort of reinforces the community, because we are literally all in this together, especially with the numbers like selling these days, you know.
Especially with the situation at the moment, man, as well. I'm really feeling the sense of community these days. I never used to be a great believer in it, but I am now. I'm sort of convert to the fact that we are us and you, got you guys in the Lakes and Mega City and all these sort of guys. You know, we always retweet each other. We always meet up at conventions, you know. Even Sadaka. I'm like a member of the Sadaka fan club now. He's my hero.
I think a lot of people are, to be fair.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And Dave, I love Dave. Dave's a proper good guy. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's probably the first time you've been on the show since the new year. So I think we need to ask, how are they coping with the crushing loss, the crushing defeat in our end of year quiz?
Talk about this.
We were so lucky.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be honest, lads, it went down like a lead balloon. No, but it was, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was a heck of a lot of fun. It really was. But we still get the occasional fucking 1 point. 1 point, bastard.
Well, I had Dave on a podcast the other day, and he didn't mention it. He was all right. Yeah, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
But we love you guys. Like you say, there's like three or four podcasts, and you know, little groups are reviewing, like Gaz Watson, and all these sort of guys. You know, do reviews, and you know, it's a good little scene. It's an honest, friendly. I mean, we rip the piss out of each other constantly, but
but there's a podcast community as well as the comics as well, isn't it? You know, especially when I mean, because you've stepped into like walking the floor at conventions as well, getting interviews and stuff. How's that been?
Yeah, that's all right, actually. It's a bit daunting sometimes, just because you don't want to go up and disturb somebody, especially when you can see that they're getting busy or whatever, so you kind of go away and say, oh, I'll come back. But you'll know yourselves, if you say, oh, I'll come back, and then it gets to like the end of the day and you're going, oh, shit, I've not went back.
I've sort of placed heavily on my mind sometimes.
But it's but actually standing and speaking to somebody when they've got a free moment is amazing. It's great because you're effectively getting in a 2 to 5 minute slot what you were trying to do over an hour over Skype or something. You know what I mean? You're just sort of consolidating it and getting it right there and getting loads of them as well. So it's brilliant. It's really opened that up and really opened the conversation up as well. I mean, what thought bubble going around with just that hoodie on, the amount of times that people were like, I know you,
I'm like, yeah
it's unbelievable. You don't think about it because you're just sitting behind the screen up in Grotty Dundee fucking sitting clicking away and somebody comes and says, oh, I know your show.
I mean, it's great. It is good. We get that occasionally. The worst one I ever had was good old Gareth Slighthome and his missus, and she went, I know your voice, and I felt like quite mortified because she was late. I was like, oh god, all I do is swear. But she was very nice, super nice. Yeah.
Well, I got it when walking around with the Awesome Pod t-shirt at Dunfermline.
Oh right, okay.
Yeah, loads of people pointed that out. It was unbelievable. Yeah, I think there was a number of people that did actually go, oh, are you Vince, Dan, or Tony? I'm like, do I sound like any of those?
So, well, yes, I'm Vince.
Yeah. Then got yeah, Vince, their girlfriend.
Yeah. I was going to say, there is a restraining order with somebody up in Dunfermline, Vince, sorry.
I'll just add it to the others.
Oh. Yeah, I wore it at Edinburgh, and someone said to me, I was on that show, it's brilliant. And I went, oh, hello, mate. And he realised it was me because I put my picture out. And he said, I thought you'd be bald. I'll out him. It was James McCulloch. He went, I thought you'd be bald. Like that. I thought, well, do I sound bald? Yeah.
To be fair, for the first wee while, when I first started listening to you guys, I hadn't seen pictures of you folks, so I just saw a picture of Vince, but didn't have a name or anything to put to it. So I thought, oh, that must be Tony.
Was that on Crime Watch?
Yeah. Back to the restraining order.
Yeah, they hadn't identified me then, so that's why you didn't know.
You don't know who that is. Yeah.
But yeah, it's when you hear the voice, and then it just maybe the podcast gets tagged or something on a random photo that has someone in it. You just kind of do association, and you end up associating.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many podcasts we don't know what people are like. That's the weird thing about comics podcasts is we listen to them all the time. I listen to loads of American ones. I haven't got a Scooby Doo what these people look like, but I've been listening to them for, you know, hours and hours and hours of my life. Yeah,
But I'm on the Comic Art Festival podcast, and I met Pete at Thought Bubble and didn't have a clue who he was. He came and stood right at the table. Mike brought him over and said, I've got a friend of yours. And I just sat looking at him going, I don't have a clue who this is. And they spoke.
I like the idea that Mike's just wandering around finding people, making friends with someone, dragging them over to the table. That makes me laugh.
A friend.
Yeah. Like, what? Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is, you know, the story of him going away for the toilet and then coming back looking like a fucking fridge covered in a bunch of badges. You know what I mean? He was only away about 10 minutes. He came back with about 50 people's badges.
That was a good year for Thought Bubble this year, dude. I have to say, that was one of my favourite years, I think, up there.
That was the first time I was there, and it was brilliant. Really good. Mm. Really good just meeting everybody as well. Fantastic.
Yeah, very good. We had a blast, V, didn't we?
Yeah.
Next year, Dan's going to be there. You promised,
no, this year. This year.
This year,
yeah.
There's only one thing standing in my way.
What's that?
No.
Well, I'm going to put it to bed. COVID-19.
Oh, it's... Dan, why'd you bring it down? Like, this is a celebration.
I thought you were going to say your missus.
Oh, no.
I mean, she's more likely to murder him.
So I can say that's not a problem. Was that? No, it's all right. I didn't say anything. Stuck around the door.
The on-air divorce of Dan. Yeah.
So, have you got any favourite discoveries you've made, Tom, that you know you wouldn't have done before the podcast? Anything that sort of propped into your radar that you've really enjoyed, and you think, oh, I wouldn't have seen that if it wasn't for what I was doing on here on that Comics Mail or the Lakes?
Probably I wouldn't have discovered Charles H. Raymond's stuff.
Okay, you like his stuff, don't you? Yeah, I do too. Yeah, stuff.
Yeah, and I probably... Oh, God. Oh, The Junction, Norm Conway this year. Oh, my God. Oh,
okay. That is still
in the running for being the favourite comic of the year. And, you know,
that's quite a book, isn't it? And that's another one that just came out of nowhere, because I got that sent as a review copy, and that's... Same as you, and that I remember us talking about it at the time. It just came out of nowhere, didn't it?
Like, yes,
I don't know who he is.
Read that.
Oh, yeah, it's quite good. It's just finished its Kickstarter, so it should be released soon, because I know it was finished.
Okay,
yeah,
he got funding for that, and he was putting out updates that it was going to the printers just now, and it seems to be on schedule, so we'll wait and see.
Brilliant.
But yeah, I've not had anything through the post yet, but then again, it is like a big, weighty, lengthy tome. Like, it's a good piece for a first piece as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's worthy. We were chatting about it at Nobrad. It's worthy of being a Nobrad book. I'm not larging it up, but I think it's that kind of gentle storytelling, but with a nice little twist, sort of iconic but different art. It's a strange one. It's one that you might look at and think, oh, I don't know if I can. But when you invest the time in it, it's a quality piece of work, I've got to say. Yeah,
it's really it's a lengthy piece, but it's a breeze to read.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And it really does hearken to, it hits a lot of beats, a lot of sort of pop culture beats without ripping them off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It does a really good job of that. It's good.
It's kind of a cross between a children's graphic novel and a Twilight Zone episode. There's a sort of really strange style to it. Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah. I think, once it comes out, maybe we'll get him on, because I think is he like a media guy or something like that? Is he, or I can't remember.
I think so. I'm not entirely sure. I met him briefly. Animation, very briefly. Yeah, animation, I think. I met him very briefly at Thought Bubble when we were at Lucy Sullivan's table when she was signing Barkin.
Okay.
And, at that point he was saying something to her about being in, I think it was animation. I want to say it was animation.
Yeah, I had a conversation with him about it on when he sent the review copy. I think that's right. I mean, Lucy's another one. I love Lucy's work. I mean,
yeah.
Mm.
Yes.
That book's really a really, really interesting style.
And it's just
style.
Had a proper launch as well, hasn't it?
It's had a full
launch. So
I was watching her on KitchenCon earlier doing some drawing. That's not brilliant. Really, that she purposely allows people. I wasn't like through a KitchenCon.
Not this time.
No, not this time.
As long as you were keeping distance, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's the gold nature creepers nowadays. Oh.
I mean, there's a book title, The Golden Age of Creeping.
Yeah, it's actually illegal to watch people. Oh, I suppose it was anyway, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It always was, Tony. All right.
Yeah. That's part of the thrill.
I think through doing the podcast in general, I think just being more open to small presses in general. I mean, I honestly could sit and rattle off a bunch of names and I'd end up missing somebody, so I don't want to end up going through everybody entirely, but honestly, there's just a whole host of folk that I was already following little small cons in and around Scotland, but starting the podcast just opened up to everyone. It's just unbelievable. And although we go against it a lot of the time, Twitter is a big connection to all of them,
definitely.
It
does make you really social.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always click on that trending and think, why the fuck did I do that? Because I read something, oh, Jesus. stay in my lane and like do the comic stuff. Don't look at anything else because it's invariably horrible.
Car fire, yeah. It's a trash fire, isn't it? Otherwise, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You've got to mute a heck of a lot of stuff.
Yeah. There's a lot of muting goes on. Yeah.
There was a guy someone retweeted today, and he's called at Nashatobi, and he's got this artwork that is just, oh man, it's very reminiscent of Andy Bloor. I'll tell you what, I'll send it on our little WhatsApp group, and
I will put it in the show notes. So there you go.
Put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
I've already got quite a few lined up for this week. Oh God.
God, yeah, must have a fair bit of. Christ, how many titles we can drop? Maybe we can drop as many names as we can in the next 5 minutes.
We're not having a recommendation section this week, folks, because show's just we're doing whatever we want because we can.
Yeah.
250, you guys can do whatever you please.
And thanks for coming down to the 200th, dude. We do appreciate that.
Yeah, that was
really cool. That is all good. I would not have missed that for the world. That was great.
Yeah, it's only a shame we couldn't do another one. Maybe for 300, we'll think about
doing
something.
There will be something in the future, I think.
Yeah,
for 300.
We were planning to do like a show after the comics mart, weren't we?
Yeah,
that was initially what we had planned.
Yeah,
and then the other one we were planning to go to Blackpool for Vince's birthday.
No,
that's still on the cards.
No, shut up about Blackpool.
It's pretty fucking rough.
Every week.
As I said to you, didn't I? I texted you saying, "Oh, I'm a bit worried about the virus," and you went, "Why?" I said, "I think it might put paid to our Blackpool trip," and you just messaged back with, "Yeah, very true."
I'll tell you what.
Here was me thinking it was Centre Parks as well. I was getting getting ready to call the police and everything. It was unbelievable.
Don't knock Centre Parks. we could all get bikes and just go for a ride.
Oh, I'd love that.
Mm. Play on a river. Ooh, lovely. Where was I? I was starting to dream for a moment then. just got a little bit too sexy. Ooh.
Yes.
So what's coming up for that comic smell then?
Yeah, what you got lined up, babes?
Well, hopefully getting a live stream up and going, but there's been about 4 or 5 attempts to just even get recording, which we did the other day. But if we can get a live stream going, we'll get a topic.
Still on Skype, man. You can record on Skype.
Well, we did end up recording on Skype. The signal was rubbish the first time that we did it. Right. We did end up getting something. I have got something that's probably coming up in the next week or so. Right. So you might actually see our gorgeous faces. But I'm going to try and get a live stream up and going. Just a usual, you know, topic, but we'll take the questions from the crowd, as they say. With all of us being locked in, I mean, we're used to all meeting up in the around the table. So this is kind of hitting.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, sitting now behind the camera just quietly masturbating whilst we all talk to each other. It's harder to meet up, but I think about a live stream in probably.
Is that what you mean by masturbating? Are you live streaming now?
Live streaming.
Yeah, right now.
Dan put a shirt and tie on. Did you know? Dan put a shirt and tie on for tonight. Yeah.
I had to make some extra money, so I'm just a cam girl in the
Oh my god. I mean,
yeah, mate, as soon as this shit is over, I've got to come up and see you guys, because I've got a bit of business up there I've got to come and clear. So I've definitely got to come up. That was a good night, me, you and Dave and Pat Mills. That was a night.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was. It really was. Yeah, but definitely. You boys, all three of you, have an open invitation to come up anytime.
Oh,
yeah,
thanks, man.
The home of British comics. There you go, Dundee.
Yeah. Yes. And
you've got a comic shop opening, you were saying. You've got one coming. Is it?
Well, hopefully. Just hoping. Just hoping. They've said it's only delayed so far, so hopefully that is the case. It should be July that it's opening, and on a pretty good street and stuff as well in Dundee. So here's fingers crossed we'll actually get a comic shop back in Dundee.
Brilliant.
Nice. Yeah.
And hopefully we'll have more comic book shops in the future.
Yeah. Yes.
Because we'll need them. We'll need them, because digital's great. We read loads of stuff digitally, but there's nothing quite like the printed book.
No, I still want a book.
Yeah.
Want a comic.
I need to go in and start. I need a place to sniff. That's it.
Yeah.
You got kicked out of the leisure centre.
Yeah. Dan, I told you that in confidence.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so, where can people find that comic smell then, apart from in the books that they read?
You can find us on SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, the usual kind of places, Twitter, Instagram at That Comic Smell, and you can find us peeking in your kitchen window at the minute because we can't get in.
Oh, lovely. Well, that's
in and out of each other's houses with each other's property in Dundee. It's proper fun.
Oh, lovely. Well, I mean, it's always proper fun to talk to Tom.
Yeah.
So
yes.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank
back
you very much.
You're welcome back any time. But does anyone want to say anything to Tom before we let him go?
No,
Dan.
I thought we're doing that thing where we're just cutting him off for comedy value.
What? No, are we? We can't be. Oh, he's gone. Oh, we've lost him. lovely to speak to Tom there. Sorry, we must have lost you for some reason. it's not going to get old. And also, you know, having the power to just remove people from the call gives you a bit of a god complex, doesn't it, Tony?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
You feel like Graham Norton pulling that lever.
Oh, yeah, pulling the lever. Yeah. I wondered what you meant then.
Yeah, me too. Well, we're going with that.
Well, we've all seen that video.
Yeah.
Ricky Skeets knows all about it.
Ricky Skeets knows about it. Getting a boner watching Ghost.
I mean, of all the, you can't just talk about. I mean, where do we go from that, Dan? I mean,
that's genius.
I mean, how
that's a callback to the comic, isn't it? We got plenty.
That's that page in the comic, yeah. I mean, you got a boner watching Paddington 2, didn't you, once, so it don't matter, does it? Everyone does it.
Who are you talking to?
I don't know. You're the fucking cops, does that one? I don't care. Yeah.
I mean, God's honest truth, I haven't seen Paddington 2. I've heard nothing but great things about it. I haven't heard the term boner inducing, but
we need to get us in Sight and Sound magazine. That's all I'll say. Yeah.
Well, because I tell you what, we shouldn't be seen and we shouldn't be heard. So, I mean, it'd be ironic if they've got us in there.
Good. So let me pose a question to you boys, get back on track. What comics during our 250 episodes have you really enjoyed that have just bounced up in front of us that you didn't expect? Anything you bring to mind?
Oh, God, there's so many.
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, just go back through the list of 250 episodes, and there's the amount of times that we've probably said, I've never heard of this person before, but this book's amazing. Yeah. They're one of my new favourite creators.
We even, guessed tonight when we got, the Porcelain books, and book 3 came out, and we all read that, and it was just,
that was fucking broken.
It felt like a kind of a ripple going out for the community when that book came out, everyone was talking about it in the Awesome group. I can remember Sarah Harris making some comments about it, fucking hell.
Yeah.
It was really it got back that old feeling of everyone getting something for the first time and talking about it. And I really enjoyed that reaction.
Yeah. And it's definitely one that is, people keep coming back and saying, what should I be reading? And it's a perennial, isn't it? You know?
Mm.
Yeah. There's been so many, though. Do you know what I mean? Just looking at the list of books, I mean, the amount of money that I spent.
What about just maybe memorable moments then, V? What sort of things?
With all the stuff that I have to deal with week on week, do you think I can remember a single moment?
I loved the first, when we did the London Super Comic Con the first time, second time. The cons of you guys are absolutely top notch. So much fun.
The 2000 AD 40th.
That was brilliant.
Yeah, when you cosplayed at fucking Cheltenham. I still remember that.
Oh, God, yeah.
So I knew something was up and you wouldn't tell me. And I kept saying,
you knew. What you knew. Tony's got nose for that.
Yeah.
And you knew that something was up.
And you truly understood the cosplayers' problems when you realised how hot it was.
Boiling. I was only wearing a black jumpsuit and I was boiling. So hot. And we were right by the front door.
Inside your helmet. That was the reason.
I think it is, we've discovered some fantastic, amazing books, like some of our favourites since we've started this show. But it is those moments where it goes beyond the sort of podcast medium, or you're actually meeting. I've just loved meeting whether either creators that we've spoken to, or people that listen to the show, or just any moment, because it's gone beyond sort of having listeners and stuff. We're all friends. Every single person is fantastic.
And that's kind of where we've made our mark. Not mark, but that's kind of where we made our bones a bit. Is you get a lot of podcasts out there, but we like to think that we're a presence at conventions, which is where the scene is. I think. Let's hope it still is. In a few months' time, but it's the small press scene's heart is in conventions, whether it be LCAF or it be Troops or it be even MCM. We represent at those places, don't we? Which I kind of like for us.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And we're on the lookout for things that we haven't sort of.
Yeah, always.
Before.
Always. Okay. Always.
Yes. Yeah. In fact,
every day we send each other pictures of stuff. Every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, comics, not sort of stuff. We're not Chris Wilde.
I wonder if that was a picture of Chris. I'll have to ask him.
He had his eyes closed. If that was the case.
I regret deleting it now. But I'm kind of waiting for that next hit of the comic book that comes along and blows all three of us away from an independent creator.
It's
all the time. When you guys start saying I've read my book of the year and it's fucking February, bloody.
Yeah, I mean, there were sort of moments. I mean, if certain books or highlights or things like that. For me, there was Eternal. That was a book that
You love that, didn't you? I absolutely
adored.
And that was one of your favorite. Well, all of our favorite episodes, but that was a great one when you got a couple of the creators on, and
And there are those moments where we've had the chance to talk to creators we never thought we'd talk to, and just when you have a creator or a publisher on, and you talk to them and you just think, yes, you are all about comics. For instance, one of my highlights was when we had TKO. When we had Z.
Fantastic.
So good, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We finished that energized about comics and just be like, yes, this is definitely, you know, and they're just a really good company. They're doing really good things at the moment, especially in this time.
Can I give a little shout out to someone? To Arena from Europe Comics. Arena has
the next
now...
one I was going to.
Oh, cool! Because Arena has now moved on from Europe Comics as of a couple of weeks ago. She's moving on to Greener Pastures. But I've got to say that one of the best comics ambassadors I've ever met, I think.
She's fantastic.
Yeah. She was inspired me to read more comics than pretty much anyone I can think of in years, and has a real enthusiasm for it, and also quite a good drinking buddy. Yeah. We did have a chuckle whilst drinking at Angoulême, and
generous as well. Thank you for all the
There's so many European comics I've had my eyes open to, and it's like bloody. I mean, I always go back to Desert Star.
Yeah, me too.
That was just a revelation. That was like an ex crack fix when I read the first one.
Yeah.
And it's like a massive cliffhanger, and I was like, I've got to know what goes on in book two.
It still gives me chills thinking about some of the art in that book. It's just incredible.
Well, it's like when I just took a punt on Swordmaster on...
That's where it started, isn't it?
And the world just exploded. Do you know what I mean? It's just... And all of a sudden, we're reading basically...
Well, I'm hoping with the general problem in relation to importing comics and the American market being a mess, I'm hoping we turn our gaze a little bit more to Europe, to translating books from over there, and actually start getting some of these albums translated into English that we haven't seen previously.
I mean, they're in such a good position to do so.
Yeah.
It's almost like a captive market at the moment. They're poised to kind of take the reins.
Yeah. I mean, basically, we just want more comics, you know.
Yeah.
And obviously, independent comics are just, well, I don't want to say like stronger than ever, but there's just going to be loads of them from all over the world, isn't there?
Yeah. I mean, look at the comics that have been on Comixology for the last 2 or 3 weeks now. We're keeping it alive.
Mm.
There's nothing else coming out.
I'm going to have to put all my Vanguard issues I haven't got on there on.
Yeah, it's a good shout,
they suddenly, 5 issues appears. It's like, oh, look, there's nothing else here.
Yeah.
I'll read this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I had trouble finding some covers this week, I've got to be honest with you.
Dan,
yeah.
You make so many comics, Dan. Oh, God.
Who's that?
Oh, God. Who's it? Emerging from the darkness. Is that a tramp?
If this is about that money I owe you, you bastards, you're not getting it.
Oh, God. It's Cumber.
Straight from Maryland, Mr.
I told
Cumber.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, from Maryland.
Yeah.
Here I am.
Cookies and Cumber. Chris. That's what.
Cookies. Cookies and Cumber. Hi. You only had me back, did you?
We missed you. We got some time difference confusion, but you're here now, so good.
Yeah, and... yeah, it was user error. I'm pushing on my part. I'm sorry.
Made the same mistake many times.
I mean,
yeah.
This is all weak excuses for basically he's just been off his face on drugs.
Mashed up in Maryland.
Yeah.
I've been doing drugs and supermodels in my mansion while I've been on lockdown, spending all my comics money. You know how it
beautiful.
Is.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. I mean, what park have you woken up in today?
Well, it depends on how you define a park. If it's like a gutter by a brick wall being pissed on by a tramp.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm a living example of one of Tony's ads. In his book.
Crozzy. I'm in a WhatsApp group with Mr. Cumber and the Mighty Harris, and he does send me videos. Well, she does as well. I hope she doesn't mind. She'd had a few too many the other night and sent us a couple of videos. Not like that, I might add. So I do get a regular one from him. one where he was cruising a trucker area, saying, "Do you want a prozzy?"
Yeah, and they didn't. They didn't want one. Surprisingly, I was knocking on the windows. I was like, "Oi, you want a prozzy?" And he pulled a gun. It was clear he didn't want my services.
I mean, thankfully, you've been able to freelance in other areas. We were just talking about a startling piece of your artwork earlier on the show.
Yes.
I mean, you know what
did
we're
it feature
about.
A pair of testicles? Testicles again.
You're
testicles again. I think that'll be the name for this episode.
I'm going through my bald period of art.
which will, when I die, this will be known as sort of the dark era of Cucumber's artwork, where I more or less constantly drew testicles. Of one particular, my muse, my testicular muse, Tony Esmond, just gave life to this era of just abandon. You know, it's like I've drawn them shaved, I've drawn them fully bearded, I've drawn them with a little French beret.
I mean, bearded. But we need to talk about this, because obviously, since becoming friends with you, we've just seen your artwork just, I mean, bollocks aside, your artwork absolutely blossom. But the fact that
you
are no stranger to drawing a ball, but what do your family make of this?
I don't tell them. And I would appreciate it if you never mention this again. Because
I think you've invented
the virus.
Never share
Instagram.
Yeah.
The virus. Cliff, the bollock virus. Yeah.
I think you've invented the virus, because you know as well as I do, if the virus hadn't have been here, I would be meeting your family soon. So I think that is...
That's right. Oh, my God. Yeah.
The pieces come together.
I've got to tell you, it was really quite difficult to do all of this and set this up just so Tony wouldn't meet my family and talk about my testicle art.
Now,
it was very difficult.
On other art chores, are we allowed to talk about your big news, or is that still a secret? I'm not sure.
I don't know that it is. I'm going to talk about it. So, hey.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the worst that can happen? I get fired. Which is pretty bad.
So,
hold on a second.
Okay.
Tony, Vince, and Dan on the Awesome Comics Pod. No, not about getting fired from my actual job, about getting fired from Pat Mills. No, nothing's happened. They're teasing me. Okay. Yeah.
You say that, Mrs. Cumber?
That was Mrs. Cumber. Yeah. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm talking to them.
I love the fact that we're your dirty little secret.
Yeah.
And she didn't
quiet now, Vince.
And she didn't hear. She didn't hear all that bit about drawing testicles, which is quite good.
Yeah, she's done well. She's a wise.
I had the door shut. I'm hoping she didn't. But then she, you know, she ignores a lot, and that's how we have stayed married as long as we have.
She doesn't know about the truckers.
She doesn't know. Well, she appreciates the extra income. You see.
I mean, I also love the fact that earlier she just heard. From nowhere, Cliff shout out, do you want a prosy?
Again. And she'd probably be like, why is this happening again, Cliff? You know, I've told you about shouting after prosies in the house. Yeah, I thought, you know, we had a lot of therapy and you know, we'd come to a resolution that I would not be screaming about prosies again, you know?
Come on.
But sadly, clearly... Why? Okay. Yes.
Did you want to?
So, yes. Okay. So I'm doing like a 6-page sci-fi story for Pat Mills Space Warp, and it will be going on the web as a kind of a teaser, a muse bouche, a palate cleanser for the real artists of the series. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a sort of kind. It's called a future schlock, which is so much better than a future shock.
Yes,
because it comes with an extra L, but and an H. No, not an H, just an L. But so it's going to be. So I'm drawing this thing. At least if I don't get thrown out of the house tonight, I will continue to draw.
I think you've shared a little tiny view of the spaceship, and it's. I absolutely love that. It's a bit very sort of Silent Runnings or something like that. I see it as.
Yeah, so I did. Pat's going to use it on. I think they're working up an ad for Space Warp, and it's going to be part of that. But it's also going to be part of the strip. So you know, it was like I got to tell you, you guys have drawn stuff before. Some of you, you will know how awful it is to draw things like domes and stuff in perspective, and you know, it's just this horrible experience drawing things in perspective. But anyhow, I pushed through and I delivered it was weird. I had one that was sort of more 2001 themed, and I had one that was more realistic themed, but Pat seemed to like the this more insect-like thing. So, okay. Yeah, I'm glad you saw it. Yeah, so that'll be in there.
that, and yeah, there'll probably be some nudity in the strip. Can't say they won't.
It's always good. How are you finding working with Pat? Because Pat obviously knows what he's doing, and you know, has it been a learning curve or an experience sort of thing? Or
no, it's been great. I mean, he just sort of, I just sent him these sketches, and he was like, "I like that one. Do that one." And I was like, "Okay."
Yeah, oh, nice.
Yeah. So I did that, and I sent it along, and he's like, "Yeah, I like that. That's good. Thanks, Cliff." I was like, "Oh, this is awesome. Great." You know, I thought the great man would be like, "No, send it back. This is shit. You've got to redo this."
What you're saying is continually. You know, Tony Esmond is more of a nightmare to work with. Is that what you're saying?
I'm very easygoing.
Tony, I wasn't talking to you. I was asking Cliff.
I wouldn't say no. Okay, so there were some really odd reference pictures that Tony sent me.
Reality became the comic at one point. I took a picture of myself in a motel in LA and sent it to you, and you said, "Have a look at what I drew last week." And I'm like, "Oh my God, it's morphing with reality." Yeah.
It's the same thing. Yeah. Some of those pictures, though, I'm not quite sure how you're allowed to legally own those.
I think you're okay
really,
to own.
I think they must constantly
the post. I think it's fine. If you own them, it's fine. But if you put them in the mail, that's where you're in trouble. Yeah.
Well, you send them digitally. That's the problem. I'm a little worried now.
There's a big paper folder your missus has intercepted of reference photographs, I'm sure.
She's just keeping that. You know, once the kids are in college and... that'd be it, you know. You bring out this truck full of paper with stuff in it, like, you know, "Oh, gee, you know, in 2017 to 2019, you were receiving these paper mail postage from a man named Tony Esmond somewhere in the vicinity of South England." And yeah, I know, it'd be awful. Yeah. Putting those up in front of the judge, trying to explain them.
So we're all involved in that. I think there's quite a few people now involved in Space Warp who are friends of ours from the pod. And I have to say, it's really shaping up. There's still some
things. Yeah, the art looks incredible.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
There's still some things we can't talk about, but it's definitely on the way. Can't wait to see it. I've written a thing for it.
Yeah, no, it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
So why am I coming on here talking about myself? I should be wishing you guys a happy 250th. What an achievement.
Baby cakes.
God, dude. Oh, cheers, amazing. Oh,
thank you.
I just don't know how you keep doing it each week. And the tone just keeps on getting lower. I didn't think that was feasible. But
I mean, it's been quite a highbrow show until the past 10 minutes.
No.
If anything, that's...
That was a very passive accusation there. Vince...
Look.
Well, I'm sorry.
You started the show off with a C-bomb.
Yeah.
Oh, no, really?
First, Wild Goose came on, dropped one.
Yeah. Wild card.
Oh, he said he was going to do it. Yeah. And he did it. Yeah. Those highfalutin comics guys. You draw Batwoman once and you just get all kind of uppity about it, right? You just drop him.
Just thinks he can do whatever he wants, actually.
Throws his money around, you know.
Yeah.
C-bombs.
Yeah,
C notes and C bombs.
Yeah, but obviously, you know, you've very quickly become a friend of the show. You've got your own little podcast as well. You know, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah. This podcast.
Yeah,
true. Thank you. Yeah, I haven't done one in a little while. It just doesn't feel right, you know. To sort of, I don't know. It's just kind of weird. Also, thank you guys for keeping on going week after week after week. You know, it's like it seems a little like I don't know,
masochistic.
Self-indulgent.
It does feel a bit like there's been a pause put on the comics industry, doesn't there? That's
the thing is we've all got
like pull lists, you know, we've all got big boxes of comics we haven't read yet. I mean, we could keep this podcast going for another 10 years on stuff I ain't read.
Exactly. I worry about some of the creators out there who really are suffering because they can't get out to cons and things like that. Not to be a downer, guys, on your 250th, but
I've managed to bring it down in the past two segments, so
I mean, this has been this episode has been a roller coaster of emotions, and you know, it's been oddly sexual in a lot of ways, which I didn't expect.
Has it?
The 200
we have not, that to come odd. In a minute. I know I've landed in the middle of something and it's awful and I'm wondering what's going on.
You're like Tom Cruise in whatever that what was the film called where he died?
Live Die Whatever.
Live Die Whatever.
They changed that to Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah. And then, I don't know. Who cares?
Groundhog Day with guns.
It's like Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is what this show feels like every week. But with amazing comics, though. So.
It's kind of insane
having to do this show. It's kind of a nice little touch point of normality.
Yeah.
Someone recorded it. I'll tell you what's worth mentioning now
is his hashtag at the moment, which is creators4comics. So creators and then the number 4 comics. And it's loads of people have thrown themselves into it. I've just looked it up on Twitter, and Jeff Smith's doing a Batman piece. So it's people, and it's I think the money goes to the comic shops. Is that right?
Yeah,
that's right. Isn't Jim Lee sort of behind that to a degree? He's auctioning some of the works and stuff. Yeah.
So I've just gone. The first three are that I've just gone on to the top people on that hashtag, and it's Jeff Smith, Joel Jones, Mitch Gerard, Matthew Rosenberg, Greg Capullo, Dan Jurgens, David Mack. Bloody hell!
My God,
who are they? Who are those guys? I don't even know. I'm just.
It's an awesome initiative, though. I think.
Yeah, it is.
And we're seeing lots of this.
And
sort of stuff,
Christian didn't mention it because he shot. You know, but Christian did one, didn't he? I think you auction off artwork or even just a chat. I think Dan DiDio's done where you can have a chat with him.
Didn't Daniel Warren Johnson did a portfolio review or something like? No, somebody did a portfolio review. Declan Shalvey did a portfolio review.
Okay. And you can bid on it on Twitter, and then they, once you prove that you sent the money to whoever it is who's taking it in for this charity, and then they'll send you the art or do the chat on Skype with you or stuff like that. Yeah,
oh, cool.
That's good.
Mm.
Yeah.
Then Lee Warren Johnson started up an art channel on YouTube, which is kind of, that's another
He's really good, man. he is scary good.
It's nice to see the creativity that's coming up during the lockdown. I think I've certainly been inspired to do some stuff, and a lot of people have, you know, because we've got this time on our hands where we're not out clubbing in the evenings.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to see the fruits of some of that when you listen to this podcast, hopefully, because we've got our Asterix and Obelix Azzurro drawing.
There's some great ones of those coming in.
Yeah, Monday the 20th. Yeah, so stay tuned for that.
Oh, God, I never got around to doing it. I got to quickly bust one out once this
that's
episode.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
What time tomorrow?
Well, you tell me when you've done your drawing.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. mine will be the last one posted. There you go.
Okay. Well, I'll put it up in the morning, and then when people do it, they can post it.
They go along. Yeah. That's a good thing about these things. Yeah. You just watch them all coming in. Yeah.
I tried to do like a Croydon version of Asterix and Obelix, but it wasn't really working. I was doing like Asbolix. But I couldn't really get all the jokes to land, and I was like, oh God, okay, so I just did them in my style, which I'll post up.
Nice. You sent it to us, looks great. Yeah,
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. And we can't wait to see more of your artwork, Cliff.
Yes.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean,
far too kind.
I'm on edge for that whole comic, the Tony Osmond.
Yeah, any day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You've got the pages sent to Mr. Reynolds to do the lettering now, so it's all good.
I had to buy a scanner. I realized halfway through the project that, in fact, not halfway through, but I had all the pages done and I started scanning them to Tony. But I go out to like office stores and stuff like that to get the scanning done because I didn't have a big enough scanner. And then I was like, all of a sudden, halfway through, I'm like, I can't leave the house and all the office supply stores are shut. Where am I going to go scan this comic? So fortunately, I had a friend who sold me a scanner for a very reasonable price. But man, they are so expensive.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. We had a tense couple of hours of you sending me screenshots of like, I can't get it to work. It's not working.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that was a particularly fun morning, sort of dealing with that technology, and then suddenly realized that I'd actually downloaded the wrong driver software for the whole thing, and the wrong program for a completely different kind of scanner, and only took me 2 hours to sort of work that out, but eventually, I'm very old, as anybody knows, I'm a very old man, and technology does not work well for me anymore. I just sort of stood there for 2 hours, shaking my cane at it, and sort of tearing it
down. I wear a captain's hat and carry a tennis racket, we know that's a fact.
Yeah,
I'm definitely getting to that. get that age where you're like, you there's a point in your life where you've got infinite time for working stuff out, like technology shit. Like, oh yeah, no problem, we do that. Now I'm getting to the point, oh, I don't fucking know. more and more often. That phrase comes to my lips.
Yeah, you have the time, but not the enthusiasm, right? I mean, yeah. You get old and you go all that time and say, oh, fuck it, I'm just going to sit here and die.
Yeah. I've had a number of meltdowns recently over what kind of audio file it should be, which yeah. Vince knows very well because I've regaled him with it
yeah.
constantly.
And I tell him it should be this and then he just ignores me and does whatever he wants it.
Okay, have we not learned over 250 episodes that that's how Tony rolls?
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I mean, obviously now you've got a scanner, there's going to be even more of your work. So where can people? I mean, we talk about you so much. I think we've willed you into life.
I don't actually exist. No, that's true. No. I'm just a figment of your imagination.
He's like
a figment of Tony's disease. Tony's disease.
We're all going to take that red pill. We all watch InfoWars. We know about red.
It's like in the mouth of madness.
Oh God!
Yes, right. I'm the Sutter Kane of the comics world.
Oh,
that is a fantastic reference.
That is an awesome reference. And if you don't know this reference,
have you read any Sutter Kane? Yeah, have you read Sutter Kane?
where can people find your artwork and stuff, Cliff?
Oh, so mostly I sort of hang around being one of the toxic crowd on Twitter at CG Cumber. But you can also find me on Instagram under the same name, at CG Cumber. And that's pretty much it. That's where I sort of hang out, other than here.
Yeah. Well,
what about your podcast, dude? Where can we find that?
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah. So you can find that on Podbean. You can just search for Comics Unencumbered. And I'll be putting a new episode up in the next week or so. So a bit of a lag. Yeah. Now there'll be something else.
Yeah. And you're not toxic, Cliff, because if you were, you know, they'd probably be like, you know, stopping you for being on like, you know, Skype calls and stuff like that, and you know, things like that aren't going to happen at any point, are they, Cliff? Cliff,
where's he gone?
Oh, that's
Vince has done it again.
That's a bit weird. I've had so much fun doing this.
It's just what you wish you could do with me and Dan last week.
Yeah, but yes, this has been a lot of fun this week.
You just messaged Touche Vince.
But yes, this has been a lot of fun. We hope you've enjoyed it this week. I mean, like we said, it was 250. We're just going to have a laugh and talk about some comics. Yeah. And, you know, there are some definite more big topics obviously being talked about with the likes of, you know, Diamond or things like that. There are other places that you can probably find your news. We will probably discuss these sort of things in shows coming up. But we're just having a bit of fun this week. I think that's what everyone wants.
Yeah.
I mean, I must admit, lads, this has been a lot more R-rated than I thought this episode was going to be.
Yeah.
We had Cumber as a guest. You knew it was going to happen.
Well, yeah, but I didn't expect... The crotch talk began as soon as the episode started.
With Wild Goose.
In fact, I would say I was halfway through my first line of the introduction when I said the number of the episode, and I heard Tony go, "Fucking hell!"
it just hit home that 250. It's just when you think about what every show's like a couple of hours at least, really. You know,
yeah.
And you got like 500 hours of us talking nonsense and. I'm proud of you boys. I love it. I absolutely love this fucking podcast.
Same, man.
Yeah, I really do. I've had a fucking shit year, as you well know. Almost died about 10 months ago.
Yeah,
and I only missed a week. I'm quite proud of that.
Yeah.
It's only once in a blue moon one of us misses a show.
Yeah,
really,
it is. I absolutely awesome. And all I want to do is talk. You guys know all we want to do is talk comics, and that's what we do. And we could. This show could be fucking five nights a week, and we'd still talk about different comics every week. That's what's going on. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we've also got to make some comics and read the brilliant comics that you lot send us. So and there's lots of stuff out there, and we're discovering all the time. So keep it coming. We're going to keep doing this silly nonsense every week. Next week. Coming up, we're going to try. It's going to be something a bit different because we are taking part of SparkCon, which is happening the 25th.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. We're going to be live.
We will be live and we'll be streaming.
I think it begins at midday. I've just reached out to Aaron and said, what time's it start? And he says, it's at midday. So keep your eye out. We'll put it on the Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that, where to find us.
We're going to have to get ahead around the technology. So maybe a trial run beforehand. I think he's tested it. But...
Yeah, and if it does work properly, we will have the audio for that as next week's episode as well. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
It's always an adventure in Camp H.
We're actually going to be on cam, aren't we?
Yes, but we won't be. I mean, if people miss it and then listen to the next week's podcast, it will just be the same shit.
Just be audio. Yeah. Just me commenting on how smart you two look. Yeah.
We can put a picture of Segal up.
I think so. Yeah.
What do you mean? He looks like that, doesn't he?
I do look exactly like that.
I do. Yeah. Bit more of a leaner, fitter Segal.
Oh, thank you.
Like, what are we
Mark
talking?
For death. Mark for death era.
Oh, what? Like Nico?
Yeah, Nico.
Lovely. It was weird how his hair was slightly thinning in that, but now it's very luscious, isn't it? Yeah,
it's a bit weird that.
Yeah,
and his hairline is like defined, like absolutely sharp. There's no sort of like
These people who used to go bald. I was watching Elton John and on television. I thought he's got a lovely set of hair now, hasn't he?
Lovely.
Can I just sign? They got a few messages on the WhatsApp group as the tonight's guests had left. And, Chris has left one was interesting.
Yes, he had, saw that just now.
Vince was on fire. Still a though. So on that bombshell.
Speaking of which, watch out on Wednesday because Atomic Hercules 2's dropping.
Yes.
Wednesday. What's the date for that? That'll be Wednesday the 22nd.
Be about 6 p.m. So keep your eyes open. We've got a Ben Mara cover as a variant. We've got a few extra bits going on with it, and we're very excited. Wait till you see issue 2. Oh my god,
that Ian Ashcroft one.
Oh,
he kills me, man.
Big shout out to Ian. Ian did like Atomic Hercules this week. He's in fact this morning, and he sent it through to me, and it just blew my brains. That's so good.
The man changes his style every other piece, and he's amazing at it.
Yeah, like a full. It would be. This should be a print. I mean, we're tempted. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's so good, like full color. Yeah,
so you capture people's imagination as a character.
It does seem. Yeah, it was very nice. Yeah, and it's amazing how he got my torso so accurate.
That's true.
I was going to give a quick shout out. I was on another podcast this week. The Nerds Who Haunted Themselves. We did a Robocop special. Where I spoke to Stuart Moraine and Andy Hanks, and we talked all things Murphy and Lewis. And Clarence Bodica.
Yeah.
And Ed 209, which Andy absolutely loves.
When is your birthday, Dan?
It's in July.
Okay. I think for your birthday, we should do a RoboCop-centric episode.
There's some good comics out there, RoboCop comics.
Comics, maybe. Just everything RoboCop for your birthday. So
that would be a fantastic birthday treat.
For everyone.
Robo.
So there you go. That's live planning, right on there. And speaking of this week, as this episode comes out Monday, the 20th of April, it is the beginning of my new comic on Instagram.
Can't wait. Yes.
Oh, it's going live today, is it?
Yes, it's going live today.
Oh, good stuff, man.
Yes, it's an Instagram only comic at the moment, so it's basically just going to be a page/panel per day, and there's going to be one every day of the week.
Have you set this up on a new account, or is it under the Vince Hunt?
It's a new account. So if you search for Black the Comic on Instagram, and that's BLAK
the Comic. And we'll put that in the show notes and the socials and whatever.
And you'll recognize it. You'll recognize it because the sort of avatar is the logo for the comic. So So go and give that a follow, and just because that's, I'm very interested to see what people.
It's good, man. I tell you, don't worry about it. It's brilliant. I love it.
Yeah, it's something very different for me, but I'm hugely enjoying doing it. So,
and I just followed you.
Oh, thank you. And there's plenty of pages to come. So,
it's the kind of thing we want to see coming out of this thing.
I don't know if you follow the No Brow Instagram. AJ Dungo did like a No Brow comic on there the other day. We gave him the keys to the kingdom, and he went on the Instagram.
and ran the channel, and he's done like a brilliant comic. Yeah, really good stuff. Yeah,
nice.
Because you know, like I said, like over the lockdown, like you do different things, try and learn a different skill. Yep. I've been practicing one for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh no,
like cockfighting. And I found out today.
Yeah,
it's fucking done with chickens. But that's a waste of fucking time.
People have been really generous during the lockdown, haven't they? Like Mel B and Ginger Spice, they sent me a really nice Seiko the other day as a present, a sort of belated Christmas present.
Yeah.
I had to write to them and I'd say, look, I'm really sorry. I said I wanted two watch, not a watch.
If you search for the hashtag dad jokes, unfortunate dad jokes, you'll see these on the new account that these two idiots set up. The thing is, I wish I could not laugh at them, but they're just gold.
I'll stop telling them when you start laughing.
Yeah. Oh dear, and we'll stop making this show. When, well, never basically, so you'll just have to put up with us for now. Yeah. And we hope you enjoyed this week's episode for all its nonsense aside. And if you
thanks
want to
all our guests.
Thank you to everyone that joined us tonight and to anyone that's going to join us in the future because we're lining up a batch of new shows. And it's already been a cracking start to the year with in terms of comic guests as well. So if you haven't heard some of the earlier episodes for this year, go back and check them out. And if there's anything coming up or any comics news or any releases you want us to know about, then
we're looking for comics to talk about. So if you've got something you want reviewing or send it through, we'll have a look at it.
Yes, yeah. And you can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, where we will be sort of announcing guests and letting you know about the latest who, what, wherever. We've got a few things to announce, obviously with Atomic Hercules and like the Instagram comic and stuff. So at the Awesome Pod on Twitter. If you do the Book of Faces, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. And if you want to join a great community of people on Facebook, if Facebook's one of your things, or maybe it's not your thing, but you want to talk to people about like actual comics, then join the group Awesome Comics Talk on Facebook, because there's loads of stuff there. The aforementioned
stuff at the moment on there. Yeah,
the aforementioned
really good.
Art thread for Asterix and Obelix is going up as we speak. Dan's doing new art threads all the time, so that's really kicking off, and it's brilliant to see.
So I'll be picking your brains for the next subject.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
So stay tuned for that. Maybe you should put a poll on the Twitter as well, Dan. We haven't done a poll.
That's a good idea.
We haven't done a poll in ages.
Yeah.
I think you've given me the keys to the kingdom on Twitter, so I was going to post up the portrait ones, and I'll do the same with the Asterix and Obelix ones.
Yes. Nice. Yes.
Good stuff, and we've got the reading group on there. We've got the Comic House reading group. The Lakes is running. Yeah, it's good stuff.
It's got the Reeves Finley book, and it's generated a lot of chat in the group.
It really has. Yeah, it's been good.
That's what we're all about, just talking about comics. And thank you for listening to us, whether it is on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, subscribe and leave a review, and just generally put the word out about this show, because we want more people to listen to it. Not all the shows are going to be like this. This was a special one-off because.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. It just invite a few people on. We think we're good.
Yeah. It went off the rails a bit more than I thought it was going to. Just imagine if we had been drinking.
Christ.
If you listen to us on any of the networks out there, Spotify, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, what are the networks we're on, Tony?
Well, I've gone back to an old podcast I haven't listened to for a while. It's the pod Air When You've Come in Me Eye.
Don't, Dan. Don't.
Which I think you all know is a Stone Cold classic podcast.
Yeah.
Where can people find us? Online, etc. Tony?
NeverIronAnything.podbean.com for the podcast, NeverIronAnything.blogspot for the review site, and NeverIronAnything.bigcartel.com for the sale of comic books.
Yes. He's a brand.
He's on it, man,
he's a
I don't know how that worked out. I just couldn't think of anything else to do when I was sat in front of my computer banging my head on the table on a Saturday night. Yeah, it works.
I mean, when he said to me and Dan, guys, I've branded myself, I thought, I was awaiting a hideous image on WhatsApp.
If you wait, it says Manchester United.
Oh, Lord. Dan, save me. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard.
Oh, it took 250 episodes to break him, but him we did.
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com.
Oh, like Rocky Balboa, you can't keep him down for long. And he came back with aplomb, and you should check that out because Vanguard absolutely smashed
issue it. Issue 18 has been primed. Hopefully, next few weeks, it'll be ready.
Nice.
Start dating.
Nice. And the cover alone is enough to make you go, ooh.
I'm working on something very special for the launch, so bear with me.
Are you going to be wearing a shirt for that?
Is it the Dream Boys?
No, I've taken up another notch.
Oh, what, all the way up until the wrist?
It's gone beyond the Dream Boys, then beyond that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
So much to look forward to. You can find me on social media, Instagram and Twitter, at Jester Diablo. And, follow my new comic, at Black the Comic, on Instagram. Even if you don't have an Instagram, just join it just to read the comic. And thank you to everyone who joined us this evening. Thank you, lovely people, for listening to us for the past 250 weeks or so. Not that you listen to all of them. We don't expect you to listen to all of them, but we hope you enjoyed no matter what episodes you listen to. Come back next week to see how the train goes off the rails again. And from Dan, Tony and myself, and to everyone out there, because we're all in this together, have a brilliant week. Read loads of comics. Stay indie. Keep making comics. Keep creating. Do lots of brilliant things. Stay healthy. Stay hygienic. And what else should they do, guys?
Stay awesome.
Stay awesome.
I'll get them one.
It's never going to get it right for the 250.
No, right. Really good. Right. Really good. Well, okay. Pretty good. That was the best I was going to get there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
See ya.